back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is segment three. We are with former mayor Sheila Dixon. She's running for mayor again April 28th. Back with us again on April 14th with all the other mayoral candidates. Don Mohler, I think we got to get to crime. We got to talk about murders. We got to talk about...
Well, so many of them are connected, right? Sure. Former mayor, you can't talk about crime. It seems to me that there's a... I always say it's a triangle. You can't talk about crime without talking about guns, without talking about opioids. So, and I'm going to throw you one other curve, because one of the things that comes up, and I have heard this, there is, and I'm not going to ask you to name your cabinet, but there is some concern from folks who reach out to me that, Don, we've had so much turnover in the police department. I think Mayor Dixon has sort of dropped hints that she may be changing course in police commissioners again. So there's a lot there. It's crime, opioids, police commissioner.
Well, let's get that straight first, because okay. I think some of my opponents are saying that because...
I hear it all the time.
Saying that because they're trying to cater to a particular community. But let me say this, because first of all, one of the candidates who worked under a commissioner who now has this crime plan, well, why didn't he work on those issues under that particular commissioner? Now, let's go back to Commissioner Bielfeld and his team. No one can tell me that they've seen the changes that we made in the police department. I would sit down with Commissioner Harris. We've met on occasions. I would sit down with him. I'm not saying I'm going to get rid of him or not, but we need to sit down and we need to talk about. And I would encourage people to go to DixonForBaltimore.com to see my comprehensive crime plan.
Okay, we always like to repeat that. It's, what is it again?
I do that on my phone.
DixonForBaltimore.com.
I have not been to DixonForBaltimore.com.
It's a holistic crime plan where we have public safety involved, but we also took a holistic approach. We have to be proactive, and our officers need to get back into community policing, out on the street, walking the beat. We've got to put the cadet back in the high school level so that we can attract Baltimore residents, young people, to noble careers in public safety and fire and paramedics, you know, which was taken away. We need to look at ways where we can affect changes in identifying issues in young people early on by creating more community schools where we have actually social workers and psychologists in the school working with young people, dealing with the trauma they face. You know, you and I probably have never seen what some of the kids have experienced today. You know, so we have to have those wraparound services in the school to support them.
Mayor, it's interesting that you mentioned that. We've had, and you probably know this, gentlemen, we had as a guest on the show Chris Battaglia, who is the principal of Ben Franklin High School, a true community school in Southwest Baltimore City. Incredible success story. Mm-hmm. And again, I would encourage folks, if you want to hear, the mayor's talking about the importance of community schools and how she's going to focus on that, go on to Baltimore Positive, listen to Chris Battaglia. He gives an example, and folks have heard me say this before, you just mentioned trauma. He paints it this way. He said he worked at Catonsville High School in Baltimore County, and he also worked as a Harford County principal, C. Milton Wright, in Harford County. And he said, here's the way I would paint it for folks. He said, we had a car on fire in front of my school one day. He said it was enveloped in front of Ben Franklin, exploding with flames. He said, what I was struck by is as my kids, who he loves, walked into the building, they just sort of looked and shrugged and went into the school. He said, had that happened at Catonsville High School or C. Milton Wright, it would have been the issue. Parents would have been flooding to the kids. And he said, it hit me of what kind of trauma my kids deal with every day.
So for them, that was nothing.
Right, it was nothing.
And so, and that in itself is an issue and a challenge. And so you have to, we started with creating and putting money into schools early on. And now, you know, with the Kerwin Commission and all of that, now they want to make more community schools. But I want to keep the school open longer so that we can have wraparound services, not only for the children, but also for the family members. You know, we had an initiative called Family Strengthening, where we had individuals going into the prison before they came out, working with them with a plan so that when they came out, they could connect with their family and look at what kind of wraparound services that they needed. You know, job training, jobs, etc. All of that is part of how you fight crime in the city. Because we have some systemic issues in certain communities that we have to go in hard on. We also have to put the most violent offenders behind bars. But let me say this. It's not just the police. I'm starting to bang on the table, too.
That's right.
But it's also
he does it all the time.
The state's attorney's office, the parole and probation, the court system. We got rid of the criminal coordinating council, which was
well, a lot of this is Annapolis, too, right?
Hold it.
Go ahead with that idea.
Yes. So in my crime plan, it's bring that back because everybody's at the table. I had a meeting with the governor the other day, and I said, Governor, that criminal coordinating council has to be put back in place. It was put in place by ordinance. No one has the option of not attending. Yes, they have to be at the table. Parole and probation, the state, the courts has to have their administrative judge there because everyone has a role in this. And we face each other, and it's a public meeting.
Well, it's a public safety issue for putting the wrong people back out on the streets for everyone.
Correct.
I can hear people in their car. You got to talk more about that because I can hear people in their car right now when you say they got rid of the criminal coordinating council. I can hear people talking to their radio going,
how does that keep my wife and children safe?
They did what? Why? Walk us through how people who don't understand how decisions are made, how does that happen?
The former mayor went to the governor and wanted to put the money into her office in City Hall versus having. See, this would be a 2-hour discussion. So, real quick, here's the quick version of it. If you don't understand structures and how things work, even though somebody wants to be mayor, some people don't have a clue about all the various entities that are part of the crime plan. Sure, you can bring in people to tell you what it needs to be, but here are all our public safety entities. If there is a challenge, I'll give you a simple example. You remember when Martin and Pat Jessamy used to go at it?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
he'd write notes to the Sun paper.
Right. So when Martin left and became governor, Pat Jessamy, myself, and states and police commissioner sat down and said, what is it going to take for us to work together? Because when we do our reports to arrest somebody and it goes to the state's attorney's office and it gets thrown out, it was a simple thing. She said, the police are not writing their reports right. I said, what do we need to do? She says, I will set up a training program to train those officers in how to write their reports right. When we began to do that, when those cases went to the state's attorney's office and went through that process, we were able to convict individuals and get them behind bars, violent offenders. Well, I'm not talking about locking up everybody because some cases you have to deal differently. But the violent offenders with these guns, we had a gun registry where people had the registered illegal guns and we went and visit them. If they were on parole and probation, all of us went there and visit them. I went on several visits. If the person wasn't doing anything, what do we need to help you with so that you can be doing something productively for yourself?
Well, part of that's getting a job, right? And the pipeline for anyone incarcerated to come back.
People stopping by,
kissing Sheila's hand.
Kissing, saying hello to the former mayor.
Good, how are you?
There you go, all right. But the crime fact, gangs. I mean, we hear about gangs. Your experience in 15 years, not be or 10 years, 11 years, it's been since you've been gone. Where are we with gangs and crime?
We still have them. They're more evasive now than ever, and that's why you have to have the federal prosecutor at the table, state folks at the table, city people. We have to be working cohesively together. We have to want to resolve this together and not point fingers or criticize each other, but look at what is it going to take for a state's attorney to work with the police department? What is it going to take for the courts and parole and probation to have the resources they need in order to convict? You know, all of these people and, you know, have to be at the table. And that was something that helped through our crime plan. Rosenstein, who went to work for Trump administration, was Rob Rosenstein. He was a key piece of our crime plan that because we worked cohesively together. You know, I keep going back to this word, collectively, cohesively. That's what it takes.
So it really
can't work in silos.
So it's a team effort. We are with former mayor Sheila Dixon, wants to be mayor again. Can't talk about crime, can't talk about guns without talking about how to police. I think the term that Commissioner Harrison uses is constitutional policing. Talk about the police department in the age of consent decree, and then also talk about your reaction to everything that's come out about the gun trace task force. I mean, just
amazing.
Well,
first of all, I'm disappointed because the gun task force, when it was originally formed, was really being effective. I think where we lost out is, here again, about consistency. I think after Fred's administration and the supervision of those officers, that those officers went rogue.
Tell folks how it was supposed to. You just said something that I haven't heard. That's interesting, Nestor. I don't think we've heard anybody say that when it was first formed. Tell people how it was supposed to work.
It was supposed to get guns off the street, deal with these gang initiatives that were going on, as well as get the drugs off the street, to go after that. Not in a rogue way and keep it for yourself. It
was not driving cars at people on a street corner.
No, none of that. Yeah. And again, I talk to officers. I know officers at all levels. Some are still there. Some are gone. And I asked them, what happened? When you lose the supervision, when a commissioner comes in and they dismantle many of the senior officers who know how to function in the Baltimore City Police Department, and you get rid of it, you lose that consistency. You have a lot of young police force. That's why I want to bring retired officers back, to bring them on contract and help to mentor these young officers, to show them the way you go out and you approach an individual who's loitering on a corner, that you be respectful. You know, part of this training with the consent decree, because that wasn't around when I was there, is how to be respectful but still do your job.
Well, we can't move on from crime to some other issues without asking you. Anybody that does any research is going to look and see that under Mayor Dixon, homicides dropped significantly. And in the latest poll that just came out, crime continues to be the number one issue. Mm-hmm. I told Nestor, having looked at polls for 20 years, I said, Nestor, that's interesting. Normally, you don't see crime rise to that level. Obviously, it's the
crime
number one
crime is higher than education and quality.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
So, in the Dixon administration, you were proud of the reduction in the homicide rate. So, I think folks want to know.
But not only the homicide rate, but also in certain other communities about the quality of life. We did not have the carjackings that are going on now. We didn't have people coming up with the amount of break-ins and car thefts and all of that.
How did you bring about those reductions in crime?
We had more officers on the street. Right. We did, right?
We did have more officers, and we also retained officers. One of the things that you have to do is you have to make sure that guy on the street knows what's going on at the top. They have to buy into that plan. You have to communicate. That's why there's an issue between the commissioner and the union. You got to communicate. You got to sit down. That officer on the street needs to know what your plan is. And I would test officers on the street when I would go out and say, so what's our crime plan? And they would go through. These are the main points. They knew that, because you got to get their buy-in. So right now we got to do some more aggressive recruiting. We got to retain. And a big piece that most people who are running for public office, two people should try to have that resolved, is there's a lawsuit about the pension, which has really been a big factor. And it's been going on for the last 10 years. We had to change the structure of the fire and police and the pension from 20 years to, I think Stephanie went 25. And those officers are who came in and signed up for 20 years want to be grandfathered in, and new officers coming in fit under that category. Well, you know, we're spending millions of dollars with this lawsuit fighting back and forth. Still has not been resolved. And a lot of them, when you talk to them, how long am I going to be here? What is it? But a lot of them now want out. We're losing even officers that have been in the police department for 2 years.
What's
or
an
so.
Ideal number? I mean, we've had Commissioner Harrison here talking about 2,500 officers, 3,100 officers. Where's that number for you and the funding for that and a commitment to that? And more than that, the day after you're elected, you got to get along with the FOP like everyone else, right? So, and I think that's been the biggest issue, is you have to have a happy union to have functioning officers.
You do,
right?
And you're not going to always agree. And I've always maintained an open relationship with the unions. I actually would meet monthly with the unions so that we could iron out whatever our issues are. You know, it's all about communication. That's what it's about, communication. I, based on the structure now, based on what The census is going to, what we do with the census coming up, which is going to be key, is going to be significant in how many officers we need in Baltimore and how we need to restructure and redistrict the police department, because the our redistricting of the police department hasn't been done in 50 years.
Don's all about the census.
So
gotta count
it's important
people.
Because that's not only count people.
Millions of dollars.
That's millions of dollars that we could lose.
Right.
And I think we might be under 600,000. If we are, that's going to be horrible for us and the resources that we need.
Now, I don't think people – Senator Mikulski was passionate about the importance of an accurate count, a correct count. I know the city's working hard, the county's working hard. As you said, it's millions of dollars, which affects resources that go to the city. A couple of quick things, and I know we're going to wrap up here in a couple of minutes. We are with former mayor Sheila Dixon, wants to be mayor again.
I smell the crap cakes.
Primary coming up this April. In an earlier segment, you were adamant that you could address the dirt bike thing. The one thing, and we know on a list of issues, what I'm about to mention, it's not at the top of everyone's list, and it's complicated. But the squeegee young men and women really are problematic, particularly for the business community and for those who visit
the city.
It's a real issue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's not just the business community or the people who visit the city. It's the people who live here as well and have to come a part of that.
So what does Mayor Dixon
do? And part
do?
Of my crime plan as well as education plan as relates to the squeegee kids is that I want to create here again. I want community outreach people out there day and night going on those corners, finding out. I do it now. I pull down my window. I ask the young people. I said, how old are you? If you're supposed to be in school, give me your name. If they give me their name, I check it to school. And I've helped several of them to get jobs. These were kids that were out of
school. Because at its core, it's about jobs, right?
It's about jobs. But some of them don't necessarily want to work, because I'm going to just tell you a brief story, and then I got to go.
Okay.
I met with a group of individuals the other day. This person owns some hotels right down in the area of Gay Street where those squeegee kids hang out. He went to the city and said, you give me how many of those young people, I will train them in my hotels. They gave them three young people. He trained them in different areas. They came to work for 2 days. He hadn't seen them since.
We hear about the soft skills. So what do you do? What does Mayor Dixon do?
They have to get off those corners because they're impeding traffic. We can't tolerate that. So they have to go somewhere. But I'm not going to say lock them up. But we've got to.
You confident you can do it?
I'm confident I can do it.
Okay. You're elected. Let's say you're elected
now
in
keep
November.
In mind, we have April, and that's why I don't necessarily like this spread. Because
right.
It really is.
It's kind of odd, isn't it?
Not only odd, because we have Republicans that are running, right, too, for mayor.
Okay. In Baltimore City?
Yeah, but you can't. You can't. I'm not.
What don't you like about the April-November stretch?
It's too long. And then so to make a transition, because you have the general election and you can't assume that one of those Republican candidates could not win here in Baltimore. And you
or an independent candidate.
Or independent. And how are you starting to plan that process out when you have to wait after the general? And then you get sworn in early December.
Right. Well, I know you have to run early December. Assume you take, if you do take office. Let's just take the two simple ones, the dirt bikes, the squeegee young men and women. How long would it take for people to say, "Dag on, Mayor Dixon said she did fix it. It's getting better."
Well, the murder rates, what everybody measures,
now you
right?
You need to bring him on your show. Call. first of all, I don't want to say 3 months, 6 months, you know, because what I need to do is go in and do an assessment of everything, and we need to do audits. So I don't want to say 6 months or 8 months.
But you're confident it'll happen.
Yes.
All right. We're gonna let you wrap up. Before we get away, we like to give everybody, this is your chance. Give us your one-minute speech. Why people, they got a lot of candidates. We've been impressed. Really good candidates running for mayor.
No, you have some great candidates.
Why should people take a chance and say, you know what, I'm going back. I'm going to vote for former Mayor Dixon again.
If people look at my past record and what I was able to accomplish for the city, and the fact that I know how to manage, I have the vision for the city, I have new ideas to move the city forward. And day one, there's no learning curve for me. Now, you know, some people are going
to
have to go
in. You know where the restrooms are in City Hall.
Well, it's not even that. It's understanding how city right. government works and operates and how our agency operates. And the fact that based on all of the things that I've put out in my education plan, my crime plan, my prosperity plan, these are not pie in the sky. These are things that I know we can do. And some folks, if they get in there, they're going to be very disappointed. They're going to find out that, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this way. I mean, actually, I would hire a couple individuals who are running for mayor right now to be part of my cabinet because I think there are some talented individuals.
There's some talent. We've been very impressed. We feel hopeful for the city. We have been with former mayor Sheila Dixon, wants to be mayor again. April 16th, early vote. April 28th, election day. Nestor.
April 14th, she'll be back with
April us. April 14th, forum on Baltimore Positive. Nestor, democracy is not
a spectator sports. We're rolling our sleeves up. We're down here at Fadley's in Lexington Market. Frank Kelly will be joining us from Kelly & Associates. Ted Venatoulis is up in the Baltimore Positive repository, as well as Malia Cromer, talking about elections and polls and stuff like that. Big appreciation to you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
Mayor,
Sheila Dixon, former mayor,
good seeing you
joining
again.
Us here, running again on April 28th. We're running out the door. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Baltimore Positive. We never stop talking. Baltimore goodness and the future.